The story of the three kings, the three wise men, the three magi, the three astrologers has always been one of my favorite stories. We're used to seeing it at Christmas time being sort of merged together with the story from Luke about the shepherds coming in from the field to the stable out behind the Bethlehem Motel 6, if you will, to see the Christ child newly born in the stable just come into the world. We're so used to seeing the image of the Christ child having just been born and receiving visitors, receiving the shepherds and receiving the magi immediately. And so this story is familiar to us, but if we take the gospel seriously, we know that actually these two stories did not happen at the same time. It's a little bit dangerous to try to merge Matthew and Luke together in that way. It does not work. We find instead in the Gospel of Matthew the magi, the astrologers, the wise guys coming to see Jesus in a house in Bethlehem sometime after his birth. Not immediately upon his birth, but some point after it. In fact, usually we don't realize it, but the scripture doesn't even say that there were three of them. We think there are three. The tradition has grown up that there are three for two reasons. Firstly, there are three gifts, or three kinds of gifts, if you will. There's gold, and there's frankincense, and there's myrrh. And so in art, and in music, and in poetry, the three wise men have grown up, one for each of the gifts. But especially this tradition has come to us because of the wonderful song we sang. They are usually typified as kings in our artwork, and partially due to the fact that we have that reference to them in the hymn, We Three Kings, written by John Hopkins, Jr. in 1857. This wonderful song, which we hear so frequently at Christmas time, and we just sort of, we'll be shopping over at the mall, and we'll be hearing all this Christmas music and stories about Frosty the Snowman and Santa Claus is coming to town, and we'll sometimes hear A Silent Night, or we'll certainly hear Bing Crosby's version of O Come All Ye Faithful, and then we'll hear We Three Kings playing in the background, and we'll think, oh, how lovely, how precious, what a wonderful Christmas song, and we fail to realize that in reality it's an Epiphany song. A song that proclaims not just the birth of Jesus, but who this Jesus actually is, who this Jesus has come into the world to be, and who he is that we worship. Have you ever paid attention to these verses specifically? Have you ever paid attention to what these words actually say in this hymn? They pull from the Gospel of Matthew some wonderful images. And they develop them, and they work with them, and it molds these images and gives it some theological meaning that has meaning for us today. First of all, it's the first place in history where three kings or three magi are identified. We three kings of Orient are. Orient does not mean China. It means Persia. It means current-day Iraq and Iran. We three kings of Orient are. Bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. That's not a journey that you make in a couple of hours, my friends. That's not a journey that you make like you would going from Dallas to Wichita Falls. That's a journey like from North Carolina to Texas, or Kansas City to Los Angeles. We're talking about a long-range trip on camel, or horseback, or foot. But not in a car or a plane. We're talking about a long journey, not the kind that could be made in one night, my friends. We're talking about a journey that they set out on probably at the time of his birth and arrived weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks later. We three kings are. Born a king, verse 2 says, born a king on Bethlehem's plain. Gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Isn't that interesting? When I think of the gold that they were given, that they gave him. When I think of the gold they brought out and they gave to Jesus, the first thing that comes into my mind is a gold bar or gold coins. Certainly money that you could spend and be rich with. But that has nothing to do with the gift of gold that the Magi, the astrologers, the three wise men gave to Jesus. Theologically speaking, it has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with royalty. Look at the words. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain. Gold I bring to crown him again. A gold crown. A symbol of his royalty. A symbol of his Davidic ancestry. A symbol and a reminder that here we have our king. This baby is our king. Royal blood. A human king in our midst. But it doesn't stop there. Frankincense. Now, when I was a kid, I used to think that was Frankenstein. No. Frankincense. To offer have I. Incense owns a deity nigh. Prayer and praising. Voices raising. Worshiping God on high. If the first gift of gold was to symbolize his kingship and a reminder of his humanity, the second gift of frankincense symbolizes his divinity and is a reminder that we are called to worship him. Incense has been used for thousands of years in the worship of God. In the temple in Jerusalem, incense was used to symbolize the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit in the Holy of Holies and on top and around the Ark of the Covenant, and outside the veil in the outer court, when you would bring the word of the Torah, the gospel message for them, the word of the law out to the people, you brought it out with incense burning. Likewise, in the church for thousands of years now, for 2,000 years, we frequently, especially in the non-Protestant in the Roman Catholic and Orthodox traditions, but also in the Protestant traditions in some churches, you have incense that is burned. And the incense that you burn, this frankincense, not secular incense, which is thin, white, ugly smoke, but liturgical frankincense, which burns fruity and large and billowy and has a wonderful odor and doesn't clog the throat and doesn't cause the eyes to water. It's a wonderful billowing reminder of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst. This frankincense is used in worship of God. And the second gift reminds us that this child is God in our presence. What does it say? Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh. The God is near. God is near to us in this child, and we are called to worship him. But it keeps going. The third gift. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom. Sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone-cold tomb. Wow. In this Christmas and Epiphany song, which we will be shopping through the mall and singing glibly and not realizing what we're saying, here in verse 4, we're singing about the death of this child. The first gift is a gift of royalty, a gift of the crown of gold. The second gift is the gift of incense, which is the reminder to us that this is God with us in human flesh. The third gift is that this gift, God in our presence and our King, is going to die for us. Bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone cold tomb. We often want to gloss over that part of the message at Christmas time. We want to gloss over it and go straight to the proclamation of his birth and forget about the fact that he came to die as our sacrifice. To bridge the gap that we created between us and God. That's why he was born. to bridge that gap.
Now the fifth verse.
Glorious now behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, sounds through the earth skies. We just don't leave him in the tomb. He then rises from the dead and is with us today. So this wonderful story begins with his birth, and each of the gifts comes to proclaim his identity as King and God and sacrifice. The myrrh is that ointment, that perfume that is placed on the body when they bury the body. Reminder of his death. King and God and sacrifice, and the resurrection is proclaimed with alleluias. The whole story of the gospel, from his birth to his death and resurrection, is proclaimed in this simple little hymn. And that's exactly what the Magi were saying when they visited Jesus after his birth and brought him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. I brought him these three gifts to tell us that he is our God, King, and sacrifice. In this Epiphany season, which now we enter, this season, the time of proclaiming him our Savior, this season and our time of proclaiming him our God, our King, and our sacrifice, let us truly open our hearts to him, this baby child who now lives among us and will live eternally among us, who came into the world to love and to die for us and was raised from the dead for our salvation. Let us proclaim him our Savior today, tomorrow, and throughout the 1,000 years that come. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us pray.